Father God, so many times we come before you thoughtlessly, sort of actually accusatory of you. Lord, help us, Lord, please, this morning, as we look briefly in a short time period into the book of Micah. Help us to grasp what it is you require, especially coming into your presence. And Lord Jesus, in your name we pray this. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Micah. Book of Micah, the Old Testament. We'll be spending most of our time there. And as you're turning there, how many know how the opening of the Supreme Court of our country is held? How many know that happens? Okay, Diane does. Who else knows? Okay, Jim, you know. So Jim and Diane, you're not going to be surprised when you go, "Hear ye, hear ye! Court is now in session. The honorable judges presiding." Hopefully you guys weren't shocked because you knew that was coming. You know, you have a person who basically is like a town crier of the English times, who basically says, hear ye." When you see the word "hear ye," it means you listen up, serious times ahead. If you look at Micah chapter 6, verse 1, it begins with that very word. Hear. So they could be saying, hear ye, what the Lord says. That's how, if you just read this in the Hebrew, how you would get the feel behind that word. Because what you're seeing here in Micah chapter 6 is the opening of a courtroom scene. That's the setting that we have here. And our Lord, in choosing in Micah 6, is basically saying an indictment on two sides is being considered. It says in Micah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Hear what the Lord says." Now, you ever seen also in a courtroom setting? What do they usually say? When the judge comes into the courtroom, what do they say? They say, hear ye, court is such, all, exactly, Ed, all rise. And what do you see here? Well, this is a courtroom setting. Micah 6, 1, hear what the Lord says, arise. And so the courtroom scene is one where it says, arise. Now, who's saying this? The Lord. And so he's saying this too. Now, and we have a very short time frame this morning with all the things that are happening. There's so much I would love to go in depth on, but this is going to be skip a stone across the surface of the pond this morning message, okay? But when the Lord says, verse 1, arise, plead your case. And he's saying to the Israelite people who in the previous chapters of Micah have certain things that have happened, and so we're back into a point of a courtroom setting. He says, plead your case. Now guess who's going to be the witnesses here? It's like the jury. Hear, you mountains. This is who's going to hear. So they're going to plead the case. It says, plead your case before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. A very common way of expressing that the mountains have stood from beginning of time, of creative time. The hills have stood. They have seen. They have witnessed. Have you ever remodeled an old house? Rick Hickson, have you ever remodeled an old house? I see he said that with gusto in his voice. Did you ever look for the secret buried treasure? Well, I have. We bought this old Victorian house up in Weston, Ohio, massive Victorian house. And every piece of lath and drywall I pulled off, I was thinking, I'll bet you they bury their treasure behind these walls. I'll never forget the day I found the manila envelope. This is true. covered with dust from the lath and the plaster and horsehair that was woven through all that stuff. And I look inside, and sure enough, I was rewarded. There was a manila old envelope in this 1800s built house between the walls, put there at an earlier time. I found my treasure. I reached down and pulled it out and opened it up, and it was empty. The phrase, plead before the hills, before the mountains, is like, as I would tear apart that house, I would think about those who had built the house that had been there for, that house represented all that had happened and been seen in that countryside. I think of these 100, 200, 300, what, 1,400-year-old tree I heard recently exists. What that tree has experienced, you know, quote, experienced in its time. That's the phrase here. Hear what the Lord says, verse 1, arise, plead your case before those that have witnessed a lot. And then the verse shifts. We don't understand what their case at this point really was, because it shifts in verse 2. Hear, again, hear ye. Okay, he says, here, I want to hear what you have to say. Now you better hear what I have to say. The indictment of the Lord. For the Lord, verse 2, the second part of verse 2, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Hold your finger in Micah chapter 6. And turn, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 25. And I do, this goes through my mind whenever a death occurs with somebody I know. And not because I think they're one place or the other, but it just reminds me what the future holds. Matthew chapter 25, I think about this. And we're going to start, if you would, we have to start with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous are just dumbfounded. Look what they say to him. Look, you know, if they had done those things, they would have thought, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I did that. They say to him in verse 37, then the righteous, this is the righteous, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Lord, this doesn't make sense. And the king said to them, verse 40, the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then, this is the part that I really think about. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, and naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they are dumbfounded multiple ways. And they say, verse 44, then they also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a judging, righteous God. In Micah chapter 6, the end of verse 2, when he says, he will contend with Israel, he will sit there in judgment like that king of Matthew 25 sits upon that throne. Verse 3 of Micah 6. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Now, so he's contending with them, and he's saying this, the first question. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Verse 4, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. What happened from Shittim to Gilgal? Do you know what happened from Shittim to Gilgal? How many of you have a pretty good idea of what happened from Shittim to Gilgal that God might be referring to here as part of his asking them to answer? How many have an idea what that means? Got one? Raise your hands if you know, please. Or if you just even think you know. I will not call on you to share. I promise you that. In Shittim, you have the Israelites on this side of the Jordan River. You know, Jericho's over here. We're at the end of the 40 years. And basically, God, 40 years earlier, had parted the, what kind of sea? What was the name of the sea? The Red Sea. He had parted the Red Sea. They crossed across. They went away from the Egyptians behind, into this other side. They're in this land 40 years. Now they're getting ready to go back to another area. They're going to start going back to the Promised Land. They're in Shittim. And they have to cross a raging river at a period of time and season where it's probably in flood stage. And God says, you're here, and I want you to be there. And so Shittim is on this side, and on the other side of the river is Gilgal. And what did God do again? Take the ark, when the feet hit, see the river opens, it stops, piles up, people go across. They get across, God releases the river, away it goes. They are now on the journey. God is saying, think of all the things that I have done for you. All the things I have done for you. That you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. So that's the courtroom scene. You know what the people's response is? Now, to me, I would be there in stark terror. And I think that may have been, so they say, the response maybe comes back in verse 6. So it's like, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before him? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Now, a calf a year old was a prime calf. It wasn't like the young one and the old one. It was like the prime. Maybe he wants a prime calf to come before his presence or to appease him. Or he may be pleased, verse 7, with 1,000 rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil. Maybe I've heard it said here, I'm not saying this in a derogatory sense, but it's like, either go big or go home. Well, you want to know something? They're saying, well, how big can we go before to God to make him be appeased and pleased with us? Maybe what I should do, verse 7, is give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Maybe if I did an Isaac deal out there with Abraham and Isaac and do that kind of a thing, maybe that's what God, what do I do? He says very simply in verse 8, a passage, my guess is, that you all know or have heard and have sung about, thought about, shared about, Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Okay. Is it 1,000 rams? Is it the rivers of oil? Is it my firstborn? What is it, God? When you come into his presence, what does he require? He says, verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The word justice, we think of it, this is a justice in a courtroom scene, right? So justice must mean, here are the laws, I'm following the laws. That is not, that's included, but that is not really what that means. It's much, much more closer, and we're not going to take the time right now, but if I take you back to Exodus 35, when God says, here's how you build the tabernacle for me. And how many of you ever read through Exodus when they talk about the tabernacle and all the different, make sure it's this length and this color and this placed and this, like this and that? I mean, that's the terms, the Hebrew terms that God uses for justice. He says, you basically have a pattern and you make it. You don't deviate right or the left from that pattern. Now, is the laws a good pattern? Yes. So you don't deviate, but it doesn't have to do with just I follow the laws and we're good. It means you're following God's pattern. And you don't deviate, you follow his pattern. So to do justice means you live every step of every day saying, God, what is your pattern? And regardless, if I'm trying to be influenced to not follow it here or to go beyond it there or to ignore it here or to go beyond it there, I will do justice. I will follow the pattern. And you'll also see when God uses these terms in Exodus 35, you'll see it over and over again, especially in chapter 35. According to their willingness of heart, according to their heart, according to their intent. Let each person bring of according to his own entire. Give willingly from his heart. Like the song we sang, what does God want? He wants us to follow him and his pattern. Be willing to follow it totally with a willing and full heart to do justice. To love kindness. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, his love endure. So basically what happens is, God's kindness and his mercy in a courtroom scene. You know what usually happens in a courtroom scene? A courtroom scene isn't full of people sitting there saying, oh, do give mercy to the offender. We want justice, right? Does God love to be merciful? Is he a righteous judge? Yes. Is it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a righteous judge? Yes. Does he long to be merciful? Yes. And so, to do justly, you follow God's pattern and you're committed to doing it. Not just thinking about it, not just writing about it, not just promoting it, but you are committed to doing it. His pattern. You love kindness. That love is an intimacy. I can speak in very general terms here, but it'd be reflective of an intimacy between a husband and a wife. You love. You are drawn forth. You are engaged. You love. What? Now, that's not the justice one, is it? That's the kindness one. And then it says to walk humbly with your God. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is where we're going to conclude this morning. Before we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll tell you the verse here shortly, I just have a question for you. If you were on the, let's say you're on the elder board or you're on the deacon board, now you're not, because your elders are need to be restricted to men. That's the way God has designed it. That's his pattern. Deacons, can we have lady deacons? The answer is yes, I believe scripturally. And so therefore you're on the deacon board. And you're trying to figure out who's going to be teaching and filling all the Sunday school times and the different hospitality committees and florals and stuff like that. And the Apostle Paul walks into your church. Now, pretend it's really the Apostle Paul, right? Pretend it really is him. He walks in the church. He sits down. And he says, you know, I'd like to serve here. I like to fellowship here. I like to serve here. So how would you like for me to serve? And you're saying, man, here's a committed guy. This is cool. Do you know what? We cannot keep a nursery coordinator down there in the nursery. You know, I'll tell you something. We just need a nursery coordinator, Paul. Paul, would you be willing to do that? Do you know what Paul might say? I can see Paul saying, okay. Is that the best way to use the Apostle Paul's gifts within a ministry? Can I venture the answer is no? Can I venture that each one of you have been called to do something? And as I've shared in my last message a few weeks back, actually, during the coffee time, I'll spend time asking, hey, what do you think God has for you? How has he crafted? What desires he put within you, both to will and to work his good pleasure? And at times, I don't hear a clear response back. And to me, that's sad. Because we know from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you would look at that, please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And what I want to share with you as I conclude right now is this. At the very least, walking humbly with God means, as it says in Romans, you don't think more of yourself than what you should think or less than yourself of what God has gifted you. You think rightly about yourself and what he has done and prepared you for. And to walk humbly with God is to say, God, I will walk according to the pattern that you have placed from before the when? I wonder what beforehand means. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand? You mean before right now? Or was it beforehand? Like long ago? Like long, long ago? Like while I was still in the womb? Or even before that? So to walk humbly with God at the very least is to try to follow the pattern that he has called you to. And that's how I want to finish my message this morning. Because for myself, even though I would have desires, I'm going to quote you from about 18, 19 months ago. When I came on the elder board as an elder, and Vicki, you said, Rick, and this is after when I came on the elder board, I didn't come on with the responsibility of the current position that I now have in the corporate world. And Vicki, you came to me and you said, Rick, are you sure you can be an elder and do the function of an elder? I know you shared, Vicki, you said to me, Rick, I can see you as an elder, but are you going to have the time? Can you do that? Of course, I said yes. And I was wrong. I was wrong. My current responsibilities that God has given to me are of such a nature that I am gone a lot of time, and even when I'm here in the county, my time is not my own. I cannot give what this fellowship needs to have to come as an elder. And I was planning on sharing this a year ago, or last December when that elder rotation came around and Pastor Josh resigned. So now I think, okay, God, what do I do? You know, what do I do? Which is better? Stay on and not be able to fulfill the role of an elder appropriately, or leave and have all kinds of confusion in the midst of all the confusion? And so I prayerfully thought it through, and I thought it was best to remain. By the way, in case you're trying to read the end of the story here, I'm not leaving the church. But last June, not just even today or last week, or in June, I shared with all the elders this. And they know I've been struggling with this for over a year. And so I shared with them, this will be my final time this coming December 1st. And I wanted to share that with you in light of all the changes that are happening, that you don't interpret these things as you hear these as saying, oh, it's because of this happening or that happening. And that's not the case. Marilyn and I are not planning on leaving. But I do know this. I believe that God has, and I say this over a long time frame, and I'm going to embarrass another young person here today in my final point too, Daniel Wiley. Daniel, you came to me several months ago, and you said, Rick, I think God may be calling me into ministry. Don't know how, you know. And I said to you, well, Daniel, I've drawn alongside other young men in the past. I'd be willing to do that. I spent a lot of time with you these last couple months, haven't I, Daniel? I don't have time to do it all. And so I need to focus myself on the things that I do believe God has created me for and called me to within this body. But I don't see that being able to be functioning effectively as an elder. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning, and just so you're aware, so all of a sudden you don't get caught off guard at the very, because Satan will use it at exactly the wrong time. Oh, well, Rick's leaving because of this problem or that problem. No, not that at all. We are all called to walk humbly with our God and to fulfill the calling he has called us to. And so as the music team comes forward, please, for our last song, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are a great and glorious God. You have called us to worship you with clean hands and a pure heart. The sacrifice of calves and rams and rivers of oil, that is done. Your Son finished that. You still, though, ask us not to come into your hands empty-handed, into your presence empty-handed, but to bring with us sacrifices of praise and lips that acknowledge your name and lives that walk humbly with you, that seek to walk according to your pattern and to love mercy and kindness. And Lord, help us to ever be growing to be that people. In your name we pray. Amen.